Good morning, sisters and brothers. We are continuing this little series of talks called Crucifying Personal Sense. And if you remember, we started in the first talk speaking about crucifying the personal sense of thought and words, the personal sense of mind in our meditations. My thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. And if we would hear God's thoughts, then we must crucify the personal sense of mind in order to have in us that mind which was also in Christ Jesus. In order to receive the still small impartation, it's necessary to cross out personal thoughts and words that would try to imitate the Father's voice. So we crucify the personal sense of mind. But there's more. And we found out we must practice forgiveness. That is, crucifying a personal sense of all those we look upon, so that we are not seeing a personal sense. We crucify a personal sense of him or her or it or them. We come to see there's only one presence. And we see that with inner spiritual discernment. Whether with eyes closed or eyes open, we see through the forms to the substance, to the spiritual reality of individual being. And, as you remember, there was much more said about that. And so if we have been following along, we know that we must crucify a personal sense of mind, of thought, and a personal sense of individual being out here. But now we must turn our attention back to ourselves. We must crucify a personal sense of life. That includes a personal sense of health, a personal sense of companionship, a personal sense of supply, even a personal sense of body. In the 1955 Kahlua Study series of talks, Joel hints at this when he says this: God is life. God is individual life. God is working out its life as our life. God is working out its life in what appears to be the form of our life. God is working out its life as our individual consciousness. God is working out its plan in us and through us. We can relax. We can learn to be a beholder. And if you watch, you will really see that what you think of as your life isn't that at all. It's God's life unfolding individually. It's only your life or my life when we take hold of it and try to manipulate it and do something with it, and makes something of it. Then we've given birth to it. We've given birth to a personal sense of life. And eventually we're going to give death to it. That's our choice. If we live in a personal sense of life, we've given birth to it, and eventually we're going to give death to it. But as we become beholders of God fulfilling itself on earth, God appearing individually on earth, well, then we're crucifying personal sense, aren't we? And so he says, in proportion as you can have no concern for your life, but learn to be a beholder, you will actually find that this isn't your life at all, and never was. This is the life of God incarnate on earth, individualized on earth. Again, he says, God is individual being. God appears on earth as individual you and me, as we step aside. See, there's a condition there. We have to step aside. We have to cross out a personal sense of life. We have to crucify a personal sense of health, companionship, life, supply. Because if you don't, well, he says, you've given birth to yourself, and in the end, you'll give death to yourself. You'll create yourself, maintain yourself, sustain yourself, and in the end, get rid of yourself. Or, in one way or another, we all must come to that place of realization, that God is individual being. Now, Joel stole that. That wasn't his idea. He received it as an impartation, but before he received it as an impartation, there was one named Jesus Christ that received it as an impartation. And he put it this way. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these lilies. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so you see, they are saying the same thing. Christ Jesus is telling us we must crucify a personal sense of self that believes it must seek after supply, health, companionship. We must go further than that and cross out a personal sense of supply, companionship, health, life. And how do we do that, you might ask? Well, of course, it begins in our meditation. Every time you are presented with an appearance of lack, and you feel that quiet desperation, that inner fear, that is the point that you must stop and turn within yourself in meditation. You must stop acting out at that point as a personal sense of life. Those thoughts, those feelings which say, oh my God, how am I going to do this? I'm not going to make it. I won't have enough. Oh my God, they've laid me off. My worst nightmare, I can't make my mortgage. Those thoughts and feelings are the personal sense of life, the personal sense of supply that must be crossed out. And a personal sense of self cannot cross out a personal sense of self. So understanding this with the human mind is almost useless. We must turn within in our meditation. We must follow the directions. What did Joel say? He said you must stand aside. You must step aside. You must live life as a beholder, beholding God living itself as you. And Christ Jesus said, you must not seek these things. You must take no thought. You must rest in the knowing that it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, that your Father knoweth you have need of these things, and it's His good pleasure to express as you. And so, now, when these thoughts hit you about your lack of supply, you must pull yourself up, right there. Ah, this is a personal sense of supply, and I'm crucifying that. I'm crossing it out. Let me turn within. Let me drop that. Now, Father, it's your grace. It's your good pleasure. It's your love that will express as my experience as I step aside, as I take no thought, as I stand still. Father, thy supply, thy grace. Father, express thyself right here, right now, in this stillness. Father, fulfill thyself. When and as we do this, the Father will impart its sense of supply to you, through you, and as your outer experience. It will appear as your outer experience formed. But the Father can't impart its love to you if you are allowing a personal sense of self to cause you to take this action, think this thought, feel this fear, run and do this, run and do that. We either have a personal sense of self, a personal sense of supply, in the driver's seat. And as Joel said, if we do, we've given birth to a personal sense of self, and someday we're going to have to give death to that personal sense of self. Why not cross it out now, crucify it now? Let's let the Father's sense of supply, the Father's sense of self, express and manifest. Let's let the Word become flesh and dwell in our midst as an honest to God experience, or an honest God experience. It really is your Father's good pleasure, your Father's love, which will express and appear as your outer experience. And then, as we started to say, you come into a new sense of supply, a new sense of self. You stand aside as a beholder, first in your meditation, and then as you gain this new sense of God expressing, you stand aside as you're walking around, driving your car, shopping, doing the dishes. You come into a new sense of supply because God imparts itself to you when you fulfill the condition. If you stand aside, if you step aside, if you live as a beholder, if you take no thought, if you fear not, if you rest in the knowledge that your Father's good pleasure is to give you the kingdom, if you fulfill the conditions of crucifying, crossing out a personal sense of self, God will impart itself to you, first in the silence, and then with eyes open. And we discover that the spiritual sense of supply is nothing at all like a personal sense of supply. Because when I have a personal sense of supply, here is my bank account. And in my bank account, I have $500. But I know from previous months, I need 723. I am lacking $223. Now that's a personal sense of supply. It could go the other way, because remember, personal sense, which is world mind, personal sense is world mind, always operates as either good or evil. So it could go the other way. It could be, I have $500 in the bank, but I just received a tax refund for $450. I'm on my way to the bank right now. Why, I have $950 and I only need $723 this month. I've got an excess of $227. Wow. I'm doing good. I think I'll go buy that dress or that pair of pants, take the wife out to dinner, buy something for the grandkids. Now, that also is a personal sense of supply. Just because it's good doesn't make it not personal. Well, then, if the lack and limitation is a personal sense of supply, if the material good and excess is still a personal sense of supply, what is spiritual sense of supply? What is it? This you do not know. This you will not know until you've crossed out, crucified, the personal sense of supply. And so as you do this in your meditation, you begin to receive impartations. As you stand in the stillness, as you listen and are receptive to the silence, out of that depth. Well, as we said before, as you launch out into the deep, out of that depth of consciousness, floats into your awareness an impartation which reveals the spiritual sense of supply. That light that comes to you lifts your awareness so that you see God's sense of supply. Christ Jesus put it this way: the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil or divided, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Now, if your awareness is single, that is, if you have the conscious awareness, a spiritual sense of supply, then your whole outer experience, your body, shall be full of light. It shall be full of harmony, joy, peace, abundance. Every good and perfect gift of the Father, the kingdom of heaven, it's His good pleasure to give it to you. But if your vision is divided, you have a personal sense of lack or a personal sense of material good, then your whole outer experience shall be full of darkness. It won't last. It'll constantly flip between the opposites. And so you cannot serve these two masters. You cannot live a personal sense of supply, or health, or companionship, or life. If you do, you are serving that personal sense which you're supposed to be crucifying. You cannot serve that and serve God and the spiritual sense of supply, or companionship, or health, or life. So therefore, he gives you the direction, take no thought for your life. Why? Because thought for your life is personal sense of life, or supply. Thought for your life is world thought about an illusory personal sense of life. Well, what are you to do? You are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and let all of the supply, companionship, health, and life be added unto you. So you see, both Joel and Jesus are telling us the same thing. We either give birth to a personal sense of existence, which then later we have to give death to, or we step out of that. We crucify that personal sense of life, rise up into our inner awareness as beholders watching God live itself. And then God's sense of supply is imparted to us. First, in our meditation, we receive an impartation in our awareness of a spiritual sense of supply and life. This, then, becomes the body of our outer experience. It forms itself. Remember Joel told us realization is demonstration? Realization, you understand now, is not just the intellectual understanding. Oh, I've read Matthew and Luke, so now I understand this. No. No, you don't. That's why it's not demonstrating. Realization is when you receive, in the silence, an impartation from the mind of God. Or from God through the mind which was in Christ Jesus, which is the mind of God. When you receive that impartation, suddenly your awareness is lifted. And you rest back, and it demonstrates itself. It forms itself as your outer experience. And so you go within, you ask the Father to reveal its spiritual substance and what it is, and you rest. You take no thought for any personal sense of self. You've crossed that out. You're just standing still as a beholder and watch the impersonal life live itself through you and as you. And sure enough, it forms itself as the body of your outer experience. And wow, wow, God's love can live as your outer experience. Yes, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you a spiritual sense of existence. One of the impartations that I received while doing this is that there is an invisible spiritual substance. There is an I in my midst, an I in the midst of all of us. And this I in the midst is spiritual supply. This I pours itself out freely as we open out a way. And we open out a way by turning away from, crossing out, the personal sense of self, of life, personal sense of supply, personal sense of health, personal sense of companionship. Now, let's look at that same bank account. Only now, what is it like when I see it without a personal sense attached? Now I get my statement in the mail, I open it up, I notice there's $500 in this bank account. Father, this is yours. This is your life. Show me what to do with this. Show me how you want to spend it. It's yours. I know that this must be either spent on bills or part of it given away. I know that this is not my supply. This pittance in this bank. This is sort of a working capital. My supply is this invisible spiritual I in my midst. So let me forget all about the bills this month and the bank account this month. For right now, I'll look at it again when something's due. Nothing's due for another week. So I'll take it out back then and pay whatever's due. But for right now, I'm going within. I'm becoming still. I'm following the directions. I'm taking no thought. So I put my bill up here in my pile where I need to pay them, and I forget about it. I may mark it on the calendar, pay this bill in a week and a half, or go over the bills or something, and now I can forget about it. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to take no thought. I'm going to turn within in order to receive an impartation, which is a realization, of invisible spiritual supply. And that's what I do. No, there's no answer to this out here. I'm dropping it. Father, reveal thy sense of supply. Fulfill thyself. I am still. I am open. Father, form thyself as I watch. Yes, thy grace is my sufficiency. Your love will form itself. Flow, Father. And then I open my eyes, I look at the calendar. If there's anything else to do today, I take care of it. But it could be that I received an impartation in my meditation that says, make a talk. Go read this chapter. Call that person. Go here. And in the doing of those things, suddenly, this invisible spiritual substance takes form and appears out here. A letter in the mail. An unexpected opportunity. A phone call. Something happens from the invisible to the visible, and that something is the love of God forming itself. Now, this happens once, twice, five times, 10 times. I begin to have the constant, conscious awareness of a spiritual sense of supply, God living itself. And it's wonderful. I am free from that personal sense of supply. I have crucified a personal sense of supply. And at first, only in my meditation, did I experience release from that personal sense of supply and freedom in Christ, freedom in a spiritual sense of supply, freedom in I in my midst. But later, I experience that inner realization of freedom as freedom bodily formed, freedom in my outer experience, harmony, peace, joy, and abundance. Now, what of our personal sense of companionship? That was one of the hardest things I ever had to cross out and crucify, and most of you have already heard the story. There was a woman that I was in love with, and she was my wife. And she ran off and took our son, our one-year-old child, with her, and never returned. Ran off with a friend of mine. This caused such severe emotional pain that it drove me within myself to find an answer. And the answer I found was that when I took the feelings I had for her, which was a personal sense of love, a personal sense of companionship, I transferred those feelings to God, first in my inner temple, in my inner meditation, and then out here. First, I went within and devoted myself to loving God and to allowing God to use me. Because always when I think of love of God, the only thing I can think of that He might want, that I have to give Him, is myself. And so, I committed myself, I devoted myself 110% to remember throughout the day to say to myself silently, Father, how may I best be of service? Thy will be done. Father, use me. Send me, Lord. Father, let thy grace flow through me. And in committing myself to that, just to being available to the Father and the Father's love, it began to show up out here. I began to see what I could do each day for someone else, how I may be of service. And sometimes it was a simple thing like helping an elderly person carry something up the stairs. And sometimes it was simply giving a short talk on a spiritual topic. But other times it was simple, something simple like helping somebody that couldn't get around clean up their apartment, and there was like 27 bags of garbage. And always trying to do that without getting found out. That was now over 35 years ago, so I can spill the beans on it. But no one has known. No one till this moment. Sometimes it was mailing money off to people. Just out of love. No strings attached. But I threw myself into loving God. And the result was, well, even in the little things, I must say, if I did the dishes, remember I was living alone, she had left, so when I did the dishes, I talked out loud, "Here, God, this one's for you. Oh, look, I can see myself in there, it's so sparkly. I sure hope you like it." If I vacuumed the floor, I vacuumed it for God. If I watered the plant, I watered the plant for God. "Here you go, God. You look kind of thirsty." I had a cat, and when the cat came in, "Hi, Father, wait a minute. Let me read to the end of this paragraph." I put the book aside. "Okay, come on." I pet the cat. "Hi, Father, how are you doing as a cat today?" I lost myself and my personal sense of loving one human being. I traded in a dependent kind of love for love of God. Everywhere, in everyone and everything. And what started out as just a simple practice in my meditation, "Father, how may I best be of service?" ended up being the conscious awareness of God inside of everyone and everything. And I fell completely in love with God. To this day, God has my heart. And even my wife knows it. She knows she's second. But I know she's God. God appearing as her. And so it's never changed. I've never lost that awareness. Sometimes I may forget it, but a simple meditation brings it right back. God is inside of every living thing, and I know this through experience because I feel it there. It's not an intellectual thought. It's an inner awareness. And so, you see, a personal sense of companionship must be crucified. It must be crossed out. If you have a wife, a husband, a lover, a partner, and you see them as an individual personal self, and you're loving them as a personal self, well, what does he say up here? You've given birth to something, and you're going to have to give death to it. And that's what I found out. But I found out this. When you love, well, instead of loving one, I mean, instead of loving the many, many people, places, and things in the one, you trade that in and love the one in the many. one presence, one life, looking out through many eyes. When you do that, if one of these infinite forms is removed or goes away, you lose nothing. The one is still there. What can you lose? You can never lose again. And so when you crucify the personal sense of companionship, you receive within yourself inner impartations, the realization, I am the life. I am the truth. And you form a relationship with that inner companion, with the comforter that will never leave you nor forsake you. And if there's 1,000 that you love, and those 1,000 are removed, the one comforter still remains, and immediately you will sense it in him and her, as him and her, in it. Why, I've sensed it in my garden. I've sensed it in the wind. I've sensed it in my cat, my dog. I've sensed it in the children. I've sensed it in you, you people that write me. I've sensed it in my wife. And something else. As you go deeper, well, we'll talk about that in a minute. Now, do you see how you crossify? I have a new word I'm inventing today. I seem to need to invent new words from time to time. We're going to crossify personal sense, which is crossing out and crucifying personal sense. So as you crucify personal sense of companionship, you trade in that limited, lacking birth and death companion for the inner companion, the comforter, the eternal one, always loving you, and which you always love. And I tell you, there's no relationship better anywhere. I have found everything I have ever looked for in that one. And oh, how I love it. And it loves me. And sometimes there's nothing but love. But this was received as an impartation, a realization, which then formed itself as the body of my outer experience. And now it's become all of you. And so I can say, I love you. So what about a personal sense of life, a personal sense of body, a personal sense of health? What about that? It must be crucified. You've got to cross it out. And that's pretty difficult. That's a pretty difficult thing to do, because it's so close to always drawing itself to our attention. But how are we to do that? Well, what did the Master say? Take no thought. You see, when we crossed out and crucified a personal sense of supply, we were to take no thought about that. Instead, we are to go within and cross out and crucify those personal thoughts, the personal sense, personal feeling, personal mind, personal words and thoughts, and there in the silence receive impartations from the impersonal Christ mind. And it was also true in our personal sense of companionship. Only when I no longer took any thought about her, or him, or them. Well, how did Joel say it? It's not easy to stop seeing human beings, but I finally made it. He crucified a personal sense of life, of companionship, and of supply. He told you when he crossed out and crucified a personal sense of supply. It was when he was walking down the street one day, and he had a long walk, and suddenly it came to him, I am supply. And then he stopped sending out bills after that, and he just went within to realize this I is supply. And then he never had to send out another bill because the students that were receiving healings and hearing talks started sending him money, which was God's love forming itself as the body of his outer experience. So he shows you in his writings where he came into a spiritual sense of supply. And he shows you in the writings where he crossed out and crucified a personal sense of companions. Because he says, it's not easy to stop seeing people, but I finally made it in the Hawaiian hotel talks. And so he's telling us, if we would follow him into Christ consciousness, then we must also cross out and crucify a personal sense of companions, personal sense of supply. But now here, when we are to cross out a personal sense of life, we must start the same place we did for the other two. We must learn how to take no thought for our life, for a personal sense of body, a personal sense of life, a personal sense of health. We must find a way to take no thought for that. We must find a way to cross that out, to come into a spiritual sense of life. If we've been pretty faithful with the first two, we are beginning to see that this inner spiritual self, this I in our midst, forms itself as the body of our outer supply, as our outer companionship. So why not as our outer body? Why not indeed? So we listen to the Master. We take no thought. We listen to Joel, we stand aside. We come to see we're going to have to learn how to live as a beholder. Now, how would I live as a beholder of God living this body? How would I live as a beholder standing aside, stepping aside, and allowing God to live, to form itself as this body? Well, you know and I know it must begin in meditation. So, just as supply, we had to practice the crucifying right at the point where it starts saying, I'm not going to have enough, oh my God. And just as we have to start that crucifying of a personal sense of companionship when it starts in with, oh, I like her. Oh, I don't like her. Oh, I miss them so much. Oh, I don't have. Oh, I'm so lonely. We have to catch it right at that point. I did. And you do. Well, so it's the same with this. A personal sense of life, body, health. Oh, what's that ache? I don't recognize that one. That might be really severe. Gee, Joe had that last year, and it developed into cancer, and he died. I wonder if I might have the same thing Joe had. Oh, that hurts. That feels like arthritis. Gee, I'm young for arthritis, aren't I? Oh, that's... You know, I'd better cover up my mouth. I have to go around them, and there was a case of swine flu over there in that neighborhood. You see? That's the personal sense of health, life, body, which must be crossed out or crucified right at that moment, at that point. But just as with bad supply, there's such a thing as good supply, and it's still a personal sense of supply. Just as a bad relationship or a good relationship is still a personal sense of companionship, so a bad sense of health or a good sense of health, my health is good today, is still a personal sense of health. And if you've given birth to it, you've got to give death to it. All right? So if I'm sitting here thinking, wow, I swam 13, 14 laps today. I feel great. I'm going to have a little protein drink, exercise about 10 more minutes, and that's it. Well, you're thinking to yourself how well you're doing. You're thinking to yourself how well you're doing at getting this body of yours into shape. And it may be feeling really good. Maybe you burnt off so many calories and carbs, you can go and have a 3-course or a 5-course meal and not put on any weight. You're doing great. Where's God in all that? You've given birth to a good personal sense of body. Now you're going to give death to a personal sense of body. But before you do that, it's going to swing over into the bad side, because it's always coming. World mind, which gives you this personal sense of life, supply and companionship, it's always swinging between the opposites. So, you can pretty much count that if you rely on your muscles, as Joel says, they're going to fail you. You're going to be 65 and unable to get up and down the stairs anymore. So what are we to do about a personal sense of body? It's always bringing itself to our attention. We're going to have to treat it the same way, because it's coming from the same world mind. It's made of the same substance of personal supply, personal companionship. It's a personal body. And what God did not make was not made. It occurred to me the other day. I was sitting in meditation. Let's see if I can find it here. Yes. This I in the midst of us manifests as infinite invisible flesh and appears as form. We say all the time, God is omnipresent, which means God is all presence. But don't we really mean God is all presence, and there's God and there's I, there's me? God is all presence. Now think about this. Look at this. Close your eyes for a minute. Okay, get the sense of this body, your body, sitting in the chair. All right? If you're driving your car and listening to this, don't close your eyes. Just keep driving, but get the feel of your body there, sitting in the seat, the driver's seat. Now, you feel your body, your body, so tall, so many years old. All right. You have just declared God is omnipresent. You agree with that, yes? God is omnipresent. So God is the only presence right here. Well, if God is the only presence, whose body is this? Is there my body and God? No? Well, then as it came to me in my meditation, it came like this. The Word is made flesh. God is omnipresent. Who is sitting here in a material form? No one. No one. This is a spiritual universe. What is this material sense of body? Well, it was not made. Only God is present. Well, that's sort of like the vanishing point, is it? Yes. Yes, it is. This is the point when you cross out, crucify a personal sense of body, of health, of life. Surely, in your meditation, when you reach that stillness, you receive an impartation that says, I am the life. You receive an impartation that says, invisible spiritual substance forms itself as body. And if you receive that at depth, it's kind of shocking. Oh my God. God is the only presence. Invisible spiritual substance forms itself. This other is nothing and is not here. Well, now I must go into meditation. I must meet it at the point where it starts speaking up. Oh, this pain. Oh, my age. Oh, I'm tired. Oh, I'm sick. Or, I feel good this morning for a change. They're both the same. I must meet it at that point. I must go within, go deep within, deeper, deeper. Father, form yourself. Invisible spiritual substance. Form yourself as your body. And when you receive out of the depths of consciousness an impartation, the secret that there is one infinite spiritual body forming itself over and over and over onto eternity. And when you get the sense of that invisible, infinite spiritual body, the temple not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, then you can rest in it and know that God loves you so much that it gave you its body, called the Son, that you would find life everlasting. When this is no longer just thoughts or words, when you receive the direct impartation that you have an infinite, invisible, spiritual body, you can rest in it, consciously feeling it, extending out in every direction. And it's a real feeling. And in your resting, you are taking no thought. You have crossed out a personal sense of body, and you are dwelling in the impersonal, invisible, infinite spiritual body, as an awareness, as a feeling. You feel it. And resting there, the opening is created. And that awareness flows forth and forms itself as your body out here. The body of life, the body of health, the body of business, the body of supply, the body of companionship, the body of fulfillment. This is what was meant. The word, that is your inner awareness, the impartation, the word received in consciousness, forms itself and becomes flesh. Then you can say, by honest real experience, why I behold the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And that is now I. And I am that. Congratulations, you have crucified a personal sense of existence. You have resurrected out of that tomb into your inner awareness, I am that. And that awareness, consciousness, God consciousness, manifests, becomes infinite invisible flesh and forms itself as the body of your outer experience. And the two have become one. Heaven and earth are now one. You have ascended into your Christhood. God the Father, God the Son, one. And I am that. But now it's not a thought, not a statement. Now it's the living Spirit of God, the living Word of God, the living experience of God. And in your inner temple, the within and the without are one. And there's nothing to do now. You have stepped into the kingdom of heaven on earth. Now you live truly as a beholder. God lives itself and expresses as the body of your outer experience. Heaven and earth, one experience. And you stand still, ever more the witness, as you know within yourself, as you feel within yourself, as you live within yourself, I am that.